So we're on, we're doing, our second session, doing Masechet Brachos, the sixth parak of Brachos. We did the Mishnah last week, we're continuing on. It's Daf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, or 35a. We're going down to the bottom of the Amid. We're skipping this part, because it gets into a whole sidebar conversation, which I don't think is so productive right now. So we're going to get into the, but this is a critical piece of Gemara right here. Okay, Tanur Rabban. Do you see it there, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna go. So it says like this: Tanur Rabban, Asher lo Adam she'anem en olam hazeh b'lo bracha. So the Tanakama the says it's forbidden for a person to benefit from this world without blessing. In other words, making a bracha beforehand. So the Gemara continues. The call on the bracha mal. Anyone who benefits from this world without blessing, mal. What is meila? Mal is the activity of benefiting from an object which has been dedicated for as property to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? We'll get into that. So the Gemara continues. My ta kante. What is the solution? How do you fix the problem? Yel chetzel chacham, go to a chacham. So then they ask, Yel chetzel chacham, my avidlei. If you go to a chacham, what's it going to help you? Ha avidlei yisur, you already violated the yisur. El amarava, Rava says, Yel chetzel chacham mikara bilam denu brachos kedei shelo yavoli de meila. So Rava says, once you go to the Chacham beforehand, learn brachos in order that you will not come to violate Me'ila. Okay. It's a lot here. All right. Okay. Let's see a Rashi over here.
Okay.
There's two Rashi. There's the one Rashi we're doing. The one Rashi right before the bottom of the page there. Ma'al. So he says, Ke nene min ha-hegdesh. So Rashi adds a very critical letter. Chaf. Ke means kamo. Means it's as if he benefited from property of the Beit HaMikdash. Dichsiv, as it says in Tehillim, Lashem Arthumla, that the world and its fullness belongs to God. Kedamrina Lakaman, as will be explained later on. Okay, so I'm just going to read a little bit more. Amar, just another line. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Anenem Min Olam Hazeh B'lo Bracha Kilu Nenem Mikatshe Shemayim. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, anyone who benefits from this world without a blessing, as if he benefited from that which is designated to heaven. In other words, property of God, of the Beit HaMikdash, Shemar Shemlo. And to God does the world and its fullness belong. Okay? Alright. So, what are questions here? Let's read some questions.
How is that being compared to that case of Ma'al and Hektish? I mean, it doesn't seem like it's the same thing.
Right. In other words, I go and buy an apple from the store. It is my property. If somebody takes it, they're a ganef. Right? So why is, if I bite into that apple without making a bracha beforehand, viewed as Mila. And why do they pick, you know, first of all, Rashi interprets the term Ma'al as being as if. Now, it's not literally an activity of Mila. So he's saying that it's an analogy. Okay? The Gemara is making an analogy. That's his position. Right? Because your property does not belong to the Mikdash, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I can't go to the Mikdash's property, make a bracha, and just munch on it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's say the base man's got a whole stack of steaks. I can't just make a shakel and eat steaks.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's a good question. What other question we got? It's also interesting that the Gemara here says, it just says an affirmative statement, it's forbidden for a man to get benefit from this world without blessing. Period. Second statement is, anyone who benefits from this world without blessing is as if it's mal. So, first of all, that's another strange thing, is that if something's forbidden to do, why are you making an analogy that and it's like something else? It's us, sir. It should be its own framework. Why is it being pushed into another a larger framework? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's forbidden in chazer. Oh, in chazer, it's like eating of a avodah zarah. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you're gonna. That's a rare phenomenon. Why are you pushing into a larger framework, into a different framework? That's question number two. And also, well, first of all, we should ask some more basic questions. Well, why is it usher? And obviously, it's not usher from the Torah. In fact, that's the conversation the Gemara has before. And is the mitzvah I'm going to summarize it, is that this is not a biblical isser. It's not one of the 613. If I eat an apple without making a brach, I did not violate a Torah violation. It's a rabbinic phenomenon. So it's an isser mi rabbana. So why does Chacham come along and make an Isser? A. And B, why is it analogous to Mila? And then we have this strange little statement. Oh, my takante. What remedy is it? I mean, it's a weird thing. You know what the remedy is? Don't do it. That's the remedy. So the Gemara says, Yelechetzel Chacham. Go to the wise man. Oh, why? So then the Gemara asks, well, Yelechetzel Chacham, my upadle, what's he going to help you? You already violated the prohibition. So rather, Rava says that Yelechetzel Chacham, mi kara, come from the very outset, v'yelam denu brachos kadesh lo yavali de mila. You should learn brachos in order that you will not violate mila. I mean, what does he mean, teach you brachos? In other words, so there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You got to go to the Chacham because no person can, you know, be self-taught in the Torah. The Torah exists in a world of the Masorah, so I got to plug myself into the Masorah chain to get educated. So why is that limited to brachos? Or why is there seems to be a special phenomena of Yelechetzel Chacham by brachos? And he'll teach you, and you'll in order you'll not come to Me'ila. Okay. So so let's just review. What are our questions? One, what is the nature of this Isser? Of benefiting from this world? Another question we can ask is, The Gemara here makes it open ended. It says, it's forbidden for man to benefit from this world without blessing. Well, it's not really true. There are certain activities that halacha does not mandate. You know, I take a deep breath of air, I don't make a bracha. I smell some freshly baked bread, lamaisa, there was a consideration, but we don't make a bracha. There was a debate about that. There are situations where you get benefit. Guy engaged in sexual relations, does that make a bracha? So there are benefits in the world that, in fact, there are no brachas. So what does it mean that it's forbidden to benefit from this world without blessing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then third question is, what's the analogy to Me'ila, the prohibition of Me'ila, of taking, using the property of the Mikdash for your own use. Four, what is his entire idea of the remedy of going to the Chacham?
First question, what is the nature of the Isser? What exactly does that mean?
In other words, where does this come from?
Uh-huh.
I mean, especially because the Gemara tries to first, you know, in response to the Mishnah, wants to suggest that maybe this is a biblical obligation. The obligation to make more blessings before food is biblical in nature, and they conclude it's not. Okay? So, what's going on here?
Okay.
So that's the thing. All right, so let's try to think, what's the starting point here? So again, the Gemara is presupposing we have certain premises. Okay? The Gemara is presupposing that we have a certain background. I was speaking a couple years ago with Rav Pesach Chait, and he said to me that the Gemara, oftentimes, it's like a train. It is moving at its own velocity. It's incumbent upon us to try to get up to speed to catch it. You know what I'm saying? It's assuming an educated, highly educated person. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what is the Gemara? The Gemara is the dialogues of the Chachmei, the Tanai, the Amorayim, in their understanding of the Mishnah, and it was re-edited to show some, to show progression, to point to the underlying factors and and definitions of the specific halachot. It already assumes that you have a mastery of the Tanakh. It already assumes a lot. So when you get to a Gemara, especially when you're doing the very beginning, you need to get in some background information. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So, and that will shed some light here. And really, the first thing I would do to shed some light here is really the Chumash in Devarim, which we reference in our benching, V'achalta v'zavata v'irachta, right? Because one of the premises is that, and again, it's not written here because it's assumed, which is that tiknu chachamim ke'ein doraisa, which means that whenever the chacham make a takana, a piece of legislation, a law that we must do, it is modeling, on some level, the Torah principles, the in other words, the Tariyah. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a right to just make it whatever they want. Okay? They can't tell us the 614th mitzvah, because that would be Baal Tosef adding to the Torah. They're not allowed to do that. So when they make a mitzvah, let's say Ner Chanukah or Mitzvah Megillah or the holidays of Purim and Chanukah, right? The obligation to wash your hands, blessings beforehand, right? That has to, they're modeling an existing framework, and that is the Torah. Before I go on, is that clear to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to open up I'm gonna show you.
Are we saying that they took it from the Torah? That's the premise?
In other words, they're modeling the mitzvah or the obligation of the Chachamim's law is going to model biblical law. It's taking existing principles in the Torah Shebichtav, in the Torah Shebaal Peh, and applying to a new circumstance.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's never like a complete break. So I'm just gonna show you structurally from the Rambam. I want to do a little bit of Rambam. I want to do a little bit of Chumash as a little background, and then we're going to try to answer those four questions. I'm not sure if we'll get to all those. It's a bunch of steps here. But this unit really is the key to unlock the entire idea of brachos. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not a Gemara in brachos. It is the critical Gemara in brachos. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not dealing with a detail. It's dealing with the whole institution. Then you can see it ready. Even though you may not understand what the institution is, that's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're taking it step by step here. Okay, it's not what I wanted. All right, one second. All right, so the Rambam opens up in Hilchos Brachos. It says, "Mitzvos asei achas." It's one mitzvah. That's to bless the holy name, blessed be he, after eating. Okay? What do we call? We call that benching. Alright, so Ram continues on. Mitzvah same in the Torah. It's a pasuk command from the Torah, Levarach achar achilas mazon. It's an obligation to eat after eating of mazon. Mazon means sustaining food. And you will be satisfied, and you'll bless the Lord your God. So that's very clear. That's coming from the midst. We're going to look at that context for a moment. You're only obligated to do this blessing when you're satisfied. When you are satisfied, then you'll bless. So from the rabbis. Established. Shafilo achol kazayis, even if you only ate a kazayis of bread, one slice of bread. Alright, it's not a sandwich, it's a half a sandwich. Mavarach acharav, you still bench, but that's only mitarbona. Okay, do you see that? Dave?
Yeah.
Then alachabeis. When we divrei sofrim from the words of the scribe, which is another way of calling the rabbis. You must bless upon every food first. Then you benefit from it. Okay. He goes on. He said, if you smell the beautiful smell, Yevarach, he blesses. Then you will benefit from it. Even if you're going to eat or drink any amount, you're going to have a sip, a little crumb of cake. Mavarach, you make a blessing. Then after you benefit. Then you eat it. You benefit. Now look, what we got coming up here. Look at the Rambam slice chapsim here. The kol ne min alam b'lo bracha mal. So he doesn't seem to agree with Rashi. Is anyone who benefits from this world? Mal. Violates or is engaged in Me'ila. He got it right from our Gemara. Word for...
What does Rashi say? He's a guy like that.
He says, Keh.
Oh, Keh.
Kemo, it's as if. It's an analogy. The Ram does not use the word, he quotes the Gemara verbatim.
Right.
Okay, so that's in. I'm just throwing that out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. V'chein mitivrei sofrim chayav adam levarach kol shiocho. A person has to eat, bless before anything eats. Kol shishta, provide that he drinks a revia, it's about 3-4 ounces, and who you, or he eats a kazayas. So you have to, there's an after blessing. We call that bori nefashot, make it an alamichia. There are other after blessings which are created by the rabbis. Okay? Umitamemes, and the guy who just tastes and spits out, in its richa brach, he doesn't have to make a blessing. Lo lefanev lachrad, not before, not after. Unless he is tasting a whole revius, a whole double cheekful, a whole mouthful. Then he has to make a bracha, even if he would conceivably spit it out. Alright. So you see clearly the Rambam sets down the structure, right? You have the mitzvah to make a blessing after you eat mazon. The Chachamim says, even if, and you, only if you're satisfied with that. Alright? The rabbi said, even if only kazayas. And they extended, a person has to make a blessing before eating and drinking and smelling the nice things. Okay?
You said before or after?
Before. And he quotes our Gemara, because nenem and olam below brachamal. So again, so you see that's actually relevant and vital for, it's not just a nice poetic drasha. You know what I'm saying? It's actually part of the substance of the halacha. Alright? It's not just a nice thing to say. Right? I want to jump back and get the big picture. Where do you get the big picture? From the Chumash. To understand how this is all flowing. Okay?
It never says in there, though, that you should make a bracha before the meal.
Yeah, it does. That's Allah HaBeis. Mizir's Abchayiv Adam Levarach Al Kol Machal Techila. Techila means first.
Where does he get that from the Chumash, though?
It's not.
Ato Beirach,
no, he says, Mizir Rei Sofrim.
Okay.
That's their addition. That's their contribution.
Gotcha.
Very important. I've got to highlight that.
Yeah.
So there was a time in Jewish history that you had your bread meal and you benched. But you didn't make a blessing, but you didn't make a motzi. You just had one bracha. Birkat Hamazon. Okay? But the Chum had to add to that. Which of course is another question. It's our fifth or sixth question. Why do they have to, why are they making that institution? And you see, it's not a little thing, it's everything. Food, drink, fragrant smells. It's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
And then, I'm just going to fill it in. Lach Gimel, while we're here. Kishesh Mavarchan Al Naya, just as you make a bracha before benefiting, Kach Mavarchan Al Kol Mitzvah, so you have to make a blessing before you do a mitzvah. Well, that's weird. Vachach Yasosa. And afterwards, you make a blessing. You make the blessing, then you put on your tefillin. You make the blessing, then you put on the talis. Brachos Rabos Tigna Chachamim, and the rabbis institute many blessings. Derech Shevach Vodai, in the manner of praise and thanks. Bederech Bakash, in the manner of request. Kedei Lizkor HaBorei Tamid, in order to remind themselves of the Creator continuously. Afi Shalom Nana, even though he did not get benefit, v'lo asa mitzvah. He didn't do a mitzvah. Okay? We'll do a lot of four because we're in a roll. V'nimsu kol brach kulam shloshim minim. Therefore, comes out there are three categories of introductory blessings. Birchos on naya, blessings on enjoyment. Birchos on mitzvos, blessing on mitzvos. Ubirchos ha'ira, and blessings on seeing things. Shein dera, you know, for example, you make a shechianu. Shein dera shevach. Vodaya Ubakasha, and they're formulated in the manner of praise and thanks and request. In order, I make a mistake. Brichas Ayira means blessings of awe. So in order to remember the Creator continuously and have reverence of Him. Okay? I want to get... So right now, do you have the facts clear?
Yeah.
Good. We're covering a lot of territory, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We go on. All right, I'm going to get the... Okay, good. So, we're gonna. Our focus is gonna be on pasuk number Yud 10. Let's back it up to get the whole flavor. Go ahead, read it out.
All the commandments you're instructing the occasion that you observe to do, that you may live and live while you go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the ways of the Lord that God had led these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might afflict thee to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not.
So Moshe tells the Jewish people, it's one of his, part of his series of his last speeches, right?
Yeah.
He says you got to keep them, he's talking about when you enter the land, he's talking about when they're going to establish the new state. But you remind them that to remember the journey in the desert, where he says I afflicted you, and I tested you to know what's in your heart. So basically, the Midbar experience was really a boot camp. Where the Jews were put under stressful circumstances in order to prove themselves where they're really holding. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Three.
And they afflicted thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Okay, so it's a critical pasuk. Vayancha, and he afflicted you, vayarivecha, and he starved you, vayachalcha zaman, and he fed you the man which you didn't know. And your forefathers did not know. Lamano diacha, to inform you, to teach you that not on bread alone does man live, but rather all that emerges from the mouth of God does man live. So the man, despite the midrashic sense that it tasted like anything he wanted, on the basic level was a test for the Jews. To know, to show they were dependent persons, to show that the totality of life is not. In other words, they were deprived the maximum variety of foods to allow them not to get distracted, so they can pay attention to the education they were receiving in the desert. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you have what you need. Things are good, but that's not that the man does not live on bread alone. You got to do something else. And that was the Devar Hashem that emerged from God's mouth. You know what I'm saying? They were restricted. They could indulge in the psychological. They didn't. They were heavily. They were deprived from the psychological component of the food experience. When you go to a restaurant, you are paying primarily for not just the issue of the physical satisfaction, but more prominently, the psychological satisfaction of food. Right? If you go to a fancy restaurant, what's the main thing is the decor. Now, why should the fact they have pretty paintings on the wall affect your eating? Why does the fact that the food is organized and prepared in a manner which it looks artistic, why does that play a role? Why is that important? And people have spent hundreds of dollars on a single meal to be in an environment which is artistic and beautiful. where everything is, you know, aesthetically pleasing, from the decor to the china to the stemware to the silverware to the food to the server to the music to the ambiance, everything. A person is paying for the satisfaction of feeling pampered, of feeling like a melech, feeling like a king. It's not a guy just eating a sandwich on the run. Because at the end of the day, they're both full the same way. In other words, their stomach is now filled with food in both things, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
Right, it has to be the psychological.
It has to be the psychological. So that was... they did not get that, or highly... They were on a highly restricted diet in regards to the psychological satisfaction of food. To show them, to educate them, that that's not the main thing of life. And that they were also dependent for that food also. So then we get the Pasuk Dalet. Go on.
Thy raiment wax not old upon thee.
So he took care of your clothing, that the clothing did not, the clothing and the footwear did not, you know, were sustained over the 40 years. All right, go on.
And thou shalt consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth the son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee.
So basically, the key thing is that that part of the. Just as a man gives musr, gives rebuke, gives you know, an education to his child, God is educating us in a much more, what you call, in a tough love way. You know what I'm saying? Alright, go on.
Thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him.
Go on.
The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths, springing forth in valleys and hills.
Go on, keep on going.
Land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land wherein thou shalt be bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, out of those hills thou mayest dig grass. And thou shalt eat and be satisfied, and bless the Lord thy God, the good land which he had given thee.
So Hashem is talking about you're gonna recognize the education you received in the Midbar, and because of that, of the walking in his ways and having fear of him, he's going to bring you into a good land, a land which is having wall brooks and fountains and springs and wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and there'll be bread, there will be any lack. Land whose stones are iron, out of the hills you may dig brass. And you'll eat and you'll be satisfied and you'll bless the Lord your God on land that I have given you. All right? So there's an obligation. Moshe introduces the mitzvah of blessing Hashem after Achila, right? Achar Achila is Muslim, says the Rambam, which we understand it to be bread. Why, of course, why doesn't he say it? It's a good question. The mitzvah of eating and satisfying and blessing Hashem. For the good land that Hashem has given you. Why? In order to understand why, which is this is a course, these subsequent psukim, 1 through the 11 through 18 is a cornerstone of the entire institution. Let's take it away.
Beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments, his ordinances, and statutes, which I command thee this day. West Wind now has eaten and are satisfied and has built the greenhouses and dwell therein. When thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Led thee through the great and dreadful wilderness, wherein were serpents, fiery serpents, and scorpions. The thirsty ground, there was no water, and brought thee forth water out of rock, flint. Fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, and that he might afflict thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter ends. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that with thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day.
Okay, stop. So Moshe forecasts a certain circumstances which is going to occur once they get into the land and build the land. What is that challenge? What's going to happen?
Then once they achieve some successes, they're going to attribute it to their own greatness and not to what God for putting them in that situation.
Right. Pasuk Yedaled. Let's read in Hebrew. V'ram levavecha. The man's heart will swell, will become lifted up, become arrogant. And you will forget the Lord your God. That's the problem. That's why the Chachamim created the institution of brachos. Why do I say that? Because what problem did they see?
Because of certain situation that he was put in, and he has this opportunity to eat this apple. And the guy's going to feel less satiated after it, and feel, great. But he's got to check himself, Repeatedly check himself at every enjoyment that.
You can ask a question. Why isn't the benching enough? Why isn't Birkat Hamazon enough? The Torah made one bracha. The Chacham come in and make a zillion brachas.
Because, man, they probably made that institution because man's on that level where he's always going to be aware of God. He needs the constant reminders.
Right, so but in direct report, because the person is in a more distracted state. He's in a greater state of shechacha, right? In other words, if the person was a less of a shocheach, right, if he didn't forget, then a little reminder, when he had a meal once a day or twice a day, is sometimes sufficient. But apparently the chachamim are, it's the fact that there's no more reminder, as Ram says, k'day lizkar abora tamid, to remember the Creator continuously, implies that the Jewish audience is more distracted.
Yeah.
He's in a greater state of shikha. He's distracted with other loves. There's an avas Hashem, a loving of God, and of His wisdom of God, the chachmas Hashem. But there's also a love of money. There's a love of fine homes. There's a love of fine dining. There's a love of all kinds of things. So the guy is distracted. He's overwhelmed. So the Chacham created this institution to maximize the reminders, the zechira, in direct proportion to the level of shichacha, right? Because then this whole story ends off, just the last two psukim, go on, of the chapter 19.
And it shall be, and thou shalt forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them. I forewarn you this day that you shall surely
perish.
As nations that the Lord maketh to perish before you, so shall ye perish. As ye would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God.
So the level of shikha, if the person's in his realm of seeing of expressing his personal divinity, in order to maximize divinity, he's going to build a coalition with the various cultures and the divinities of other cultures in order to be a big mocker in his region. You know what I'm saying? Once he's a shocheach, once he's involved in being lost his own personal divinity, then he's subject to all kinds of distortions. So he's going to be mostly distorted of maximizing his power. As he says, Kochi votzim yadi yasachal zeh. So he's going to be attracted to the other strong countries and their mystical, magical forces, because he wants to maximize power, and by having the magic on his side, he's going to be prone to that. So it's a natural progression. It's not unrelated; it's related. So the Chachamim came along to seeing a more distracted Klal Yisrael, created an entire network of brachot. All right.
Can you repeat that, actually?
Yeah, so in other words, in direct proportion of the Jewish people's level of in shikha and being distracted with alternate loves, did they feel the need to create a system of reminders, which we call brachot, around all the areas of food, drink, and smell? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear from the psukim. You see where Moshe is driving at here.
Yeah.
You're going to go, you're going to have a beautiful house, and it's going to be beautiful fields, and you're going to have gold, and you're going to have silver, and you're going to get the... You're going to feel your personal well-being swell, and you're going to forget Hashem, because you're going to ascribe that as being a measure of your power and greatness. It's 100% natural. So that's the deal. So come along. Okay, let's try to take a couple of the questions here. Well, we're not going to do all of it, but I want to go back to at least quite going back to the Gemara here. Let's do the first one first. Asur lo adam she'en emen olam hazeh v'lo bracha. So what does that mean? So what did the Chacham do? Now we're going from the... You often hear the difference between, hashkafa versus halacha.
Right.
You heard that distinction? So we have a principle which is expressed in the Torah Shebech Tzav, which we call the hashkafic principle, right? Now, what does that mean? So the question is, how are we going to take this idea and translate it into the law of the land? How are we going to make a legal mechanism in order for it to function? Right? So we have it. So the Chacham saw the Jewish people at that time. Interestingly enough, it's not so. It came out at the time of, it seems, Ezra and his court. So talking about the end of the first exile, the Jews were involved in assimilation, marrying out, very distracted. So they created a system of brachos. So how did it get expressed legally? There's an answer. What does that mean? In other words, that the Maisa Achila, which is not In other words, the bracha becomes what? The bracha is a heter achila. It's a license to eat. You know what I'm saying? What does that mean? That means that they created an iser in the chafza. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, let me explain what that term is. Have you heard that term before?
I've heard it, yeah.
Okay, let me explain what that means. In other words, the way they formulated was that they said that this identity, this object, its identity is it's forbidden to you. How do you make it permitted to you? By making the declaration of making the bracha declaration. Right? So that's matir the food. You know what I'm saying? It's a heter of the food.
Yeah.
That's why the next term of ma'al fits in nicely. What is me'ila? Me'ila is... What is me'ila? Me'ila is that I have... Let's say I have fabric. Let's say I have fine linen. Okay? I have a roll of fine linen. And I dedicate it for the use of the Beis HaMikdash. And they're going to, and the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash are going to take that gorgeous linen fabric and they're going to make the garments of the Kohanim from that fine linen, right?
Yeah.
And then after I've already dedicated them, I go in and take it and I take that thing and I rub the schmutz off my face on a hot, sweaty day. So what have I done? It's not simply I've used their stuff. I have violated the identity of the object. This fine linen was dedicated for use in Avodas Hashem, in the superior activity. And I have distorted its identity by using it for a low activity called wiping my slimy face. So me'ila is that it's a violation in the chafza. In other words, by me using it for a lower purpose, I'm violating its purpose, its identity. So what the Chum did is that you can't eat it, but they formulated by making it that it's an iser in the chafza. You know what I'm saying? Versus an Isra in the Maisa. Simply, is it that you can't do this activity? Or, I need an activity to make the object permitted to me? They're showing, because by doing that, they're showing a deeper idea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, they had in their tool chest, they could have done a lot of different things. Remember, they're writing their own legislation here. They want you to pay attention to the identity of this object. So they're saying, all things now, all food, drink, and smell objects are now in a state of iser. Their nature is usher to you until what? Until you permit it via the activity of making the bracha.
Right.
The bracha is the matira, it's a heterachila.
Okay.
Just like, I'll give you another example. Just like shechita is a heterachila. Also a heterachila. You gotta go through that process to allow access to the resource. But the key thing is, you see how beautiful, because they're trying to make you see the world differently. You know what I'm saying? It's not that they want to be meany guys, that, oh, we don't want you to eat the candy bar. They want you to look at the candy bar differently. They want you to categorize the food properly. It's not that they want to restrict you from eating. They want you to eat. They want you to eat by seeing what the food really is. That's the Kodshei Shemayim. It's analogous to that which is dedicated to the Mikdash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what would be an example of an Isser in the Misa?
I would say the prohibition, it would appear to me, again, I'm not the, it would appear that the prohibition of eating basar v'chalav. I can't have a Philly cheesesteak. They said I can't eat this. Part of the discipline of Kedusha demands that I don't eat whatever, I don't eat everything. And one of that is not eating basar v'chalav, for whatever reason. I can't do the, not that the object is a chafsa shel iser.
The actual mice is the issue.
You can't eat it. I could be wrong, but I'm just saying, I'm just giving you, it appears to be that way. You know what I'm saying? It seems to be that that the way it works, not that you make the bracha green light. It's like saying that the object now is defined as heter to you because you've now seen it properly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now it's usher to do that now. So it's now it, the result is the same. I can't eat the apple. I can't engage in the activity of eating the apple. Oh, but why can't I eat it? Because the nature of the isser, they put an isser. They rabbinically declared that all food is usher to you until you recognize identity as being emerging from Hashem's benefit, tov to you, then you have a heter achila. There's more here, but I think there's a nice chunk. We did a nice chunk today.
Okay, so the reason why they ran that parallel to the Maal case.
Yes.
Is because they're both a violation in the
Chafsa. And they're both in a violation in the Chafsa for the same reason. In other words, the resources of the Mikdash are designated for use in the national service. Right? And if I take it for personal needs, I'm violating its identity. I've disgraced its lofty purpose. Similarly, food is a part of the bria, and the distracted nature of Klal Yisrael is to presume that they're the borei olam, right? Who's the creator? Well, so as long as you say that he's the borei melech olam, borei bria eitz, I'm recognizing this is emerging from his bria. Then I can eat it.
It's not a personal thing.
Yeah.
It's coming from God's greatness.
Yeah. It's not emerging from you as a great divine creator.
Okay, I see the parallel.
In other words, it's liberating you from the distracted state of assuming your own personal divinity. And you're the cause of all your success. No. He's the cause. And I'm going to make that declaration to demonstrate that I see what that is. Oh, why don't you do that? That's a heter in the chafza. The heter achila. Now I can eat.
Gotcha.
So that's why the analogy to Mila is perfect. It's the exact same thing.
Recognizing the true identity of the thing.
Exactly. That's a bracha. Most people distract the view of bracha being, if you ask a little kid, what is making a bracha? It's thanking Hashem. No.
That's what we think. Recognizing the true category or the true identity of the
right. Seeing this as this is a product of Hashem's Tov as the Bel-Rei, and removing me from my distracted nature that I view myself as a personal Bel-Rei divine figure.
Gotcha. Okay.
V'ram levecha v'shachat Hashem kacha. You become arrogant and you forget the Lord your God. So basically, benching was not enough. It wasn't enough for the Jewish people, presumably sometime after the exile. but was not working. And they created an immense amount of brachos, an immense amount, you know, and it continued for like hundreds of years, more and more brachos. As Ram says, can they liskor ha-bore tami, to remember the notice the word, bore, creator, ulira mimenu, and to have reverence of him. Because that natural sense of being a divine figure, entitlement, is overwhelming. So they had to add it to the tool chest. So you see the principle on the Chumash? You see what the Chum did? And then you see the halachic structure of what they did. Do you see that? I'm also sharing you how the Torah Shir Bechsav and the Torah the Rambam work in unison. You see it? How that principle gets articulated and expressed in the structure of the halacha.
Okay.
We'll continue. We'll go on to the Yale Chetzal Chacham part next week, because there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, I think about this. Very good.